God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Tonight, taking a look at Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. My guest is Kitty Erickson, author, blogger, and speaker for the ministry. Glad you're with us here tonight, Katie.
I'm always glad to be here.
Oh, that makes two of us. I'm glad you're here. And let's dig into Hebrews 12, though. Again, Katie Erickson's our guest. You can find her writings at worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. Every single Monday, she releases something brand new. She also has a resource titled Tough Questions, Biblical Answers to Life's Challenges. It's available in paperback and Kindle, and you can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie, let's get right into Hebrews 12.
All right. Well, tonight we are looking at Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 17. So, yes, we are jumping right into the middle of the chapter, but that's okay. Stick with me. We will get the right context in place here. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app handy, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done." So in the previous section of Hebrews chapter 12, the author talked about the importance of having discipline in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. We need to be corrected when we're not on the right path. And it was talked about in that section about God disciplining us as a father disciplines his children. So this portion that we just read is an extension of that thought, encouraging us to live upstanding lives and living as a witness to our God. So at the beginning of verse 12, we saw that it started with the word therefore, so we have to ask, what is the therefore?
Therefore.
Exactly. So that links this section that's coming with what just preceded it. So because of the discipline that God provides to us, we need to do our best to live our lives in a righteous manner. If our arms are feeble and our knees are weak, as the passage says, we need to strengthen them to do the hard work of living rightly. The Greek word used for strengthen also means to make upright or to make straight, giving that idea of living in an upright manner. That is what we are called to do. So then in verse 13, the author of Hebrews quotes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. So this builds on that idea from verse 12 of strengthening our bodies to do the good works that honor God. If our paths are level, we're better able to walk on them. This is connected to the idea of discipline among believers in Jesus. We're meant to live as communities of believers, not to go it alone. When some are feeling lame or disabled, struggling with doing what is right, the community of believers is to come alongside them, to encourage them, to provide that spiritual healing. Now, while we are not saved by the good things that we do, the good things that we do show God's glory, and they demonstrate our faith. So then, next verse, we see the author giving more specific ways of how to live in a righteous manner. So it says in there to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. So the Greek verb that's translated as make every effort really has a meaning of pursuing or chasing after. So the idea of this verse starts out like saying pursue, chase after peace with everyone. You know, don't just wait for that peace to happen, but work at that, pursue it, try and make that peace happen.
Oh, we got to stop there.
All right.
Because, friends, when we hear we got to have peace with everyone, a lot of people just move into, oh, we just got to get along and we got to figure out how do we move forward without really any conflict. That's not what this is saying, is it?
No, because the peace is not necessarily the absence of conflict.
Oh.
I mean, you can disagree with people and still be at peace with them.
Really?
So yes.
Can you kind of dig into that a little bit? I know Katie just
put
gave
me on the spot.
Katie basically did the shoulder shrug of, oh, great.
Didn't have that prepared.
That's all right.
But, I mean, we can disagree with people and still be at peace with them. You know, there's probably no one that I agree 100% with. You know, I'm sure there's things that even Jason and I could find that we may not agree on fully. But you know what? We're still at peace with one another. We can still do this show and have friendship and work in ministry together. And it's totally fine.
Well, since Katie's sitting right there, I'll just talk about her right in front of
her. Well, sure.
Face.
Why not?
And so, friends, Katie and I obviously work in ministry together. We're friends together.
Mm-hmm.
And what she just said is true. We do not agree on every single little bitty thing. We actually have had times where Katie would ask me something and I'd go, well, let me think about that for a moment. And I'd come back with maybe a different idea, a different way of doing it. And then, if you will, I got to hit the ball into her court, and then she got to wrestle with it a little bit of, okay, how do I think that goes? What does that mean? Now, we're not just talking about theology. We're talking about life in general. And then Katie can go, you know what? I'm going to let Jason know this is how I think about it. This is what I think we should do. And she hits the ball into my court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get to go, what do I get to do with this ball? Am I just going to grab it and go home? Am I going to hit it back to her? Am I going to think about this, wrestle with it a bit before I hit it back to her so she knows where I'm at? Friends, so many times people get stuck thinking peace means no conflict. That is not true. We're talking about peace of mind, meaning Katie and I, when we have struggles, and I'm just being honest, and Katie's over there shaking her head since this is radio, you can see
yep.
that. We do have struggles, but
oh, sure.
her and I have already decided, you know what? We're going to figure this out and work through it because, oh, we love each other in the Lord, and we both believe that we're called to do this, so we got to figure out how does that work. Now, I'm married to my wife. Katie's married to her husband. And lo and behold, I don't know about Katie's marriage. I'm not going to speak about it. I'm guaranteeing, though, there's some conflict sometimes. I know in my marriage, there's conflict sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being transparent with you because, friends, my wife and I still have peace because we love each other. And it's like, you know what? She's driving me absolutely crazy right now. Or I guarantee you, she's thinking sometimes, he's absolutely driving me crazy right now.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, see, Katie jumps all over that.
Oh, yeah. Got some of that going on.
But again, it comes down to, are you going to have peace in the Lord or not? And so, and look, I'm just going to speak to those who are married right now. If you are having conflict in your marriage, please communicate. Talk to your spouse. That doesn't mean you're going to agree. I can almost guarantee you might not agree. But you still have to communicate and say, okay, we got to work this out and work it out together. There's so much we could go into with this. But again, peace does not mean lack of conflict. It's not what we think about of, oh, is there war or peace on the earth? Okay, look, peace of mind is really what this is all about. And that is tough because a lot of people don't have peace of mind. Look, when I lay my head on the pillow, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm usually asleep by a minute. Not because I'm some old guy that just goes to sleep, even though I am. But
I wasn't going to say it.
But when you put your head on the pillow, if you're able to fall asleep in 30 seconds, 1 minute, and other people around you, how are they doing that? Because you keep things out of your mind that don't matter. And that's another good reason I could go on forever, just so you know. Put those phones down and have peace of mind. You don't need to be on the screen all the time. I'm not saying technology is bad. I'm just saying 100% of the time you don't need to be looking at your phone. My goodness. Have peace.
Yes.
And what else you got, Katie?
Well, and this idea of pursuing peace.
Yes.
You know, it's not just, you know, like not having conflict or whatever, you know. It's that idea of, okay, this is not something that's worthy of disrupting this relationship.
Yes.
You know, because there's disagreements that you and I have had, but we're like, you know what? Not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. We can get past this because we are on a bigger mission for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And to share the gospel. You know, so there are times we're going to disagree, but we're still on the same team. We're still working toward that same goal, you know, even if not everything is always, you know, perfectly peaceful.
Exactly. I mean, and that, again, friends, that's where it comes down to, of just deciding, okay, am I on this team or, and it's not about a team per se, but am I with God or am I against him?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's actually this particular passage in Hebrews 12, verse 14 that we're looking at. Scholars have actually debated whether this verse means to try and live at peace with everyone or just with fellow believers, because the context is actually does not make it clear.
That is fabulous.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Because that is a very different thing if we're living at peace with other believers versus the rest of the world. Because with other believers, we can look at pretty much any issue and be like, you know what? That's, we can at least agree on, you know, Jesus Christ. Well, and have that, you know, to kind of resolve our conflicts or show that our conflicts really are not worthwhile to disagree on, because we have this mission of furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And if you've listened to the program in the past, you know, I've dealt with forgiveness and the importance of forgiving. Look, fact of the matter is, we are human beings, so somebody's going to offend you in the future. It's going to happen. Not because you're a jerk and you have a thin skin, but because they're human and you're human. And so you're going to have things you're going to disagree on. And it's okay to do that. I'm going to take that back. So many people these days, I think that within the kingdom of God, everybody has to be your best friend. No offense, but that is not true. That's not even biblical. Because you've got things you've got to do for God. Katie has her calling. I have my calling. And we found that in this area of our lives, we have the same calling. So we work together. There's other things Katie does for the ministry, meaning other ministries too. And that doesn't mean I go, oh, you're so bad for doing that. No. If she believes God's calling her to go that way, great.
And that's where I'm like,
same with me.
Yeah, if I see that God's calling Jason to coach a basketball team, I'm like, go for it. I'm having nothing to do with that because I don't do sports.
Well, but she'll come cheer sometimes.
Maybe.
Not the basketball, but, well, because it's usually my children.
Yeah, exactly.
So she'll come and cheer them on.
Yeah, sure. But, yeah, you know, we have different callings and all that. But,
and that's good.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, when we're pursuing peace, that's so important, because when we have peace among fellow believers, then it's a great witness to those who do not yet believe. If they see that, you know, those people disagree, but yet they can still work together and still, you know, get along and further this mission, maybe I should get in on what that mission is, you know? So it's a great witness, really.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Friends, we're going to get to a fast cast here, get a little break for her so Katie can get her water over there, whatever she's drinking, and then we'll get right back to Hebrews 12. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
The truth of God is open and available to any who wants it. He does not offer it via a private revelation that only one person can access. He does not share all his secrets with every person, but with those he is most intimate with. However, every one of us has the opportunity be that intimate with God. Friends, buy the truth. Pursue God with everything you have, and you will get Him, and you will never be disappointed. We see in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. To dig more into this idea, go find Charlie Wolcott's blog post titled Buy the Truth.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, we thank you for being with us here for Do Not Keep Silent. If you'd like to find any of our resources, whether they're online or or paperback books that are also available in Kindle, podcasts, whatever. Worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Go find it there. Katie, let's continue on here now with Hebrews 12 and maybe take it up to the top of the hour.
All right. Well, we are at Hebrews 12, verse 15. And in this verse, we see the community of believers at work. Now, while we are only responsible for our own actions, we are also called to live in community with one another. So this actually ties into the idea of discipline from the previous section of Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 11. When we see a fellow believer pursuing the wrong things and headed down the wrong path, we need to lovingly provide them with correction. Because this verse, it says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So what's the deal with that bitter root there, second half of verse 15? Well, this is the same idea that we actually see way back in Deuteronomy 29, 16 through 18, if you want to go look that up. But the idea is that if people turn away from God, they will be like a bitter root. Perhaps it will grow slowly, but its true colors of bitterness will be seen in time. A seed of bitterness can be sown in a faith community. And while it may not be visible right away, if left unchecked, it will eventually defile the whole community.
Oh, my friend Shane Adams always says, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket.
Yep.
That is totally
That is exactly it. Yes.
So what, in other words, what's going on in your heart will eventually be known.
Yeah.
Again, that slippery slope. It's real, friends. Don't think it's not. If you're bitter, it eventually, you'll start sliding and then going, whoa, I can't slow anymore. You won't be able to slow down because you already are showing what's going on in your heart, and it's been there for quite some time.
And that's the idea here with this, having that faith community of, if you see someone who is that bitter root in your faith community that may be starting to kind of drag things down the wrong way and get you on that slippery slope, that's why it needs to be addressed. You need to deal with that bitter root, because otherwise it will just spread through the whole thing. So as we move through, the next warning in this passage is in verse 16, and we see that it has to do with sexual immorality. And again, the community of believers is called upon to help keep each other living in right ways, not falling into this temptation. Because we are there to encourage one another and, you know, not to be judgmental and say, oh, well, you're doing this wrong, but we are there as that community of believers to help encourage one another, to lovingly discipline one another. So then we see that the author brings up Esau, and you may think, well, where did that come from, right? But again, the author of Hebrews was very much an Old Testament scholar. The author knew his or her scriptures very well, so we keep seeing references from the Old Testament. So we see that he refers to Esau as being godless. Now, the word for godless can also mean unholy or profane, which implies that Esau was more focused on the things of this world than on godly things. So, and remember, this is from way back in, like, Genesis 25, story of Jacob and Esau. And we see back in that story that Esau did not recognize the value of his birthright, but instead he gave it away to fulfill an immediate need. You can find that in Genesis chapter 25 for the rest of that story. So Esau was looking only at the short term and not at the long term, bigger picture. So unlike Esau, we are to look at the big picture that God sees as much as we can, rather than focusing just on the immediate needs that we experience here on earth. Anyone who turns away from God doesn't care about God's plan. They only care maybe about their own needs being met and just looking at the short term of this life and not looking at the long term of God's plan.
And before we go on, I just want to say with that again, so what that is, friends, that's the human condition. It really is. That comes down to, okay, I want what I want and I want it now instead of God's way, which is usually, I'm not going to say always, but usually it's saying, okay, I'm not going to go do this so that there's a benefit later on with something that happens. For instance, just in a quick example here. So you want to buy the brand new car or truck that costs $40,000. Well, some people will say, let's go get a loan. Let's just do it that way. Or you could say, I'm going to buy the truck that's $5,000 and say, I'm going to try to save the money up for it. Now, that is painful because saving $5,000, I guarantee you there are people going, are you insane? How am I going to save up $5,000? Over time and not spending it and saying, okay, I'm going to get the used truck. Or they don't call them used anymore. What do they call them? Pre-owned
truck. Yes.
I'm going to get the pre-owned truck instead of the awesome $40,000 one. I'm going to get the clunker at $5,000 and still do what I need to do. Now, that's just some practical ways to think about it. Again, you can do it the biblical way or the world's way. And by the way, I'm not saying you should never take out a loan. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it might be wise to, what's the wise way? What's godly, the godly way to do it?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Are you just focusing on, okay, well, I want this thing now, even whether God says it's okay or not,
you know,
I'm just going to go ahead and do it, you know, or are you prayerfully considering what God wants you to do?
Correct.
You know, is that something of, yeah, God says, you know what, take care of this, do this, I'll still provide for you. Okay, let's move on. But it's that idea of, are you focusing on the short term, I want this thing now, or are you focusing on God?
Right.
That's kind of what sin boils down to.
Exactly.
I know this is disobedient to God, but I want to do it and I'm going to do it anyway. And that's kind of sin in a nutshell.
Well, not kind of. That is sin, that is sin in a nutshell.
Right. And if you want to learn more about sin, our fellow blog writer, Charlie Wolcott, is actually in the midst of quite a good series on sin right now.
It's fantastic.
It really is. And honestly, I've read a few posts that aren't up to be published yet. And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that, like, oh, yeah, this discussion on sin is great, but it really is because we need to hear it.
And I want to greatly encourage you, friends. Charlie's postings go up every Friday. He's got one every single Friday. Goes up. And, again, I know we're talking about difficult things tonight. I mean, sin is so popular. Let's just talk about it.
Right. It's like talking about discipline like we did in the last program.
Right.
You know?
So I just encourage you, friends, though. We've got to dig into it, learn and grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything like it talks about in the book of James. So let's get going.
All right. To wrap up the last verse of this passage that we're looking at, verse 17 of Hebrews 12, kind of continues that narrative about Esau and how he did not receive the blessing he was to inherit. Now, because he basically sold his birthright for a meal because he was clearly really hungry, probably hangry, actually. But there was a finality to Esau's actions. You know, he could not undo what he had done. You know, there are choices that we make in life that cannot be undone.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song by my favorite band, which many of you may know, is Need to Breathe. The song is called Bullets, and it has a lyric that says, can't put the bullets back into the gun, can't undo what we have done. Mm. You know, it's that idea of, yes, well, we can always receive forgiveness. Some actions are more final than perhaps we would like them to be, just as Esau's was. Mm. And that's where we need to be focused on God and what he wants us to do so that, you know, we don't make those mistakes that, you know, really kind of mess up what we were planning in life. But fortunately, we do know that God is always sovereign. And when we mess up, God will still take care of everything to accomplish his good purposes.
You know, for our younger listeners, what does that word sovereign mean?
Oh, boy. That's a big one. I wrote a blog post on that
like
a year or so ago. But yeah, so the idea of God being sovereign is basically just how he is really reigning over everything. He is that supreme power. He is the authority over everything.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. When we say everything, we mean everything. Yeah.
I mean, it. Just so you know, friends, we mean even your DNA. Okay, we mean the bugs. We need air. He is sovereign.
Everything.
He is in control of everything. It's a really big idea to try to understand it. In his sovereignty, we get free will because he loves us, which that, if you will, that's an oxymoron. How can we have free will with a sovereign God? Is he really in control or not? Right?
Yes,
and the answer to that is, yes, you're right, mm-hmm. Katie. The answer is God is sovereign and we have free will. Yes.
Yep.
And I'll just stop there because the reality is it's really difficult to understand.
Yeah. And really, I mean, the fact that God is sovereign should give us immense comfort and peace. You know, the world is scary. There's no doubt about it. But we know that nothing should truly scare us when we know that God is sovereign. You know, because we know that, you know, while he doesn't control us, everything is under his control, and he sees everything and he knows everything and he loves us.
Absolutely. With that, friends, I want to direct you quickly to one of Katie's books that she's written in the past, Tough Questions, Biblical Answers to Life's Challenges. It's available through Worldview Warriors Publishing. Find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Friends, if you've got tough questions, truly the Bible has the answers. Katie, as we quickly wrap up here, what's one of the questions that you dealt with that you really, well, enjoyed writing
about? Oh, well, there's lots of them, but what is the purpose to life? That was a fun one because, you know, a lot of people have that question of like, why am I here?
Yeah.
You know, why are we here as people? Any of that. You know, what is that purpose? And you can find out the answer in my book, Tough Questions.
Absolutely. Again, find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Thanks for being with us tonight. You go out and make today great. And friends, don't be a pushover.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.